Has anyone ever said that to you? Right? God won't give you more than you can handle, right? Chances are someone has said it to you, and chances are you probably said it to somebody else, right? Because you learned it from someone else saying it to you. It's a very popular in and around Christian circles. It's actually on the top 5 Christian cliches of all time. And it sits there, right there at number 5. God won't give you more than you can handle. Do you want to know what the other 4 are?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So think in your head, what is a Christian cliche? Think of it, see if you make the list. Here we go. Reigning in at number 5, God won't give you more than you can handle. At number 4, when God closes a door, he opens a window. You know, the first time I heard that was Sound of Music. Sister Maria, I think, said that. And the truth is, sometimes God closes a door and he just closes the door, right? There are no open windows anywhere. There's not even a breeze coming through, right? It just happens. Number 3, hedge of protection. All right? I actually prayed this a lot in my prayers, and I was really laughed out loud when I saw it. It's the King James Version quoting Job 1:10, you know, we're praying for a hedge of protection to surround you, when really we could just say, God, protect me, right? But we want to talk about hedges, all right? So hedge of protection, number 3. Number 2, Christian cliche of all time, don't feel led, right? Especially when asked to serve in children's ministry. Not that I don't love kids, right? Or screaming children or snot. I just don't feel led. That's another. And reigning, number 1, Christian cliche of all time. Well, bless your heart, right? Well, bless your heart. But everyone really knows when you say, well, bless your heart, you really are saying to them, well, that was a stupid move or idea, right? So when your friend says that they gave all their money to a guy they met online who needed a surgery for their grandma, and you say to them, oh, bless your heart, you really mean, that was stupid, right? That was stupid. So today we're talking about number 5. God will never give you more than you can handle. Now off the top, God won't give you more than you can handle. It sounds pretty dang good. It sounds good. It sounds very spiritual, too. And it sounds like a good thing. It feels like if you're at your end of your rope, and someone says to you, you know, God's not going to give you more than you can handle, it leads you to believe that something has to get better soon, right? Because you absolutely are sure that you have more than you can handle. You know those times, right? I know you have. I've had them, too. They come. And if they haven't come to you yet where you feel like you can't take more than you handle, they will come. Because it's a feel-good Sunday here at the North Side, all right? And maybe a friend or a close family member passed away. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you hate your job. Maybe you're having marital problems. Maybe you got cut from the sports team. Or maybe you moved down to the B team. Maybe you failed biology and you have to go to summer school. Maybe you bounced a check, and now your check is posted at the local grocery store that you shop at, so everybody knows you bounced that check, right? Maybe your kids aren't following Jesus. Maybe your kids aren't even listening to you. Maybe you broke your arm. Maybe you're having trouble with your parents. Maybe your car is making a horrible sound, and it's the kind of sound you know is going to cost a lot of money. It's not just something that needs screwed in, right? Maybe you're having trouble with your neighbor. Maybe you're having trouble with your homework. Maybe you're having trouble in the bedroom. Maybe you are in fights and conflict with people you love. Maybe you had a car accident and the person that hits you does not have insurance. Maybe you have a life-changing illness. Maybe you're taking care of aging parents. Maybe you're in trouble with the law. Maybe you're in trouble with the IRS. Maybe you're in trouble with the dean. Maybe you have a broken friendship. Maybe you got dumped. Maybe you're getting bullied. Maybe the girl of your dreams is going out with the jerkiest guy at school. It can be any number of these things. It can be a combination of these things, but it gets you into a real funk. You are down. You are overwhelmed. You are at the brink of a nervous breakdown. And out of nowhere, a very, very, very well-meaning Christian says to you, God will not give you more than you can handle. And you say, well, bless your heart. Right? I don't know about you, but if this statement is true, the people who can handle a lot more really get the shaft, right? If this statement is true, because I know people who can handle a whole lot more than I can handle, and I know people who can't handle really nothing at all, right? If they break their nail, their day is ruined. If their team loses, their month is ruined. If not enough people like their new picture on social media, their life is ruined, right? So if one person can take more than another person, does that mean God's going to only allow the person who can take a lot to go through a lot more, and the one who can't handle any little inconvenience to be problem-free? Doesn't really make sense, you know? Think about it. But don't think about it too long, because God never said this. God never said this, so he never said he was going to give you. And he won't give you more than you can handle. So where does this saying come from? Because there's posters, and there's Bible covers, and there's t-shirts, and they have it on back of bumper stickers. God won't give you more than you can handle. Where did it come from? Well, if you Google the verse that says God won't give you more than you can handle, this is the verse that comes up. 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations in your life are no different from others' experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. I don't know how this verse then started getting applied to people going through difficult situations, because the verse seems pretty clear, right? Not once, not twice, but three times it says temptation. God will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And if you look up this verse in other translations, if you read KJV or NASB or NIV, it's all the same. It all says temptations. It's a very straightforward verse. And then we look within the context, which we always do here at the North Side, and even affirms even more to us that it's talking about temptation rather than life difficulties. Because in this letter that Paul writes to the church at Corinth, he is encouraging them to stay pure and stay away from temptation. The Christians at that time in Corinth were really struggling to live holy, set-apart lives as Christians, because they were living in an extremely pagan culture. Like, Corinth was like the shadiest part of Las Vegas at night, all right? It was really, really tough. The culture of the Corinthians was to worship Aphrodite, and she stood for love, beauty, pleasure, and procreation, all right? So it was a sea of sexual immorality going on in Corinth. So Paul is writing to them saying, it's easy to be tempted, but God's not going to give you more than you can handle here. If you want to live pure, if you want to live holy, he is going to give you a way out. He is not going to allow you to be tempted more than you can handle. That's the context of that verse, but it's got switched around to saying, God's not going to give you more than you can handle in difficult situations. But sadly, we are not promised a cap on life's difficulties. And we are not promised a way out of life difficulties. You know, even if we look at the Bible, we see over and over again people who had more than they could handle. People who had extremely more than they could handle. Look at Job. He's having a bad day. All right? Not only did Job have all of his servants killed, his kids are killed. There's conflict between he and his wife and his friends about what's going on. He's in horrible health. He has boils from head to toe. He has lost every bit of his possessions. Every bit of his wealth is taken away. Definitely more than one person can handle. And then there's Joseph. His family, his brothers sell him into slavery. Talk about family betrayal. I used to get mad at my sister for taking my sweater. His brothers sell him into slavery. He eventually gets put into prison for a crime he did not commit. Definitely more than one can handle. Stephen, faithful follower of Jesus, is publicly stoned to death. Ouch, right? Ouch. Publicly stoned to death for having his faith and proclamation in Jesus. Definitely more than one can handle. The Apostle Paul, he's stoned, but he survives it. Don't know how. Escapes many times from mobs out to get him and to kill him and to imprison him. He is imprisoned for healing a demon-possessed girl. Gets arrested in the temple. Hears about plots that are out to kill him. He's shipwrecked on a way to a trial. He's under house arrest. He's imprisoned in Rome. And then he's martyred. Definitely more than one can handle. King David, he messed up. Slept with another man's wife. Had her husband killed on the battlefield while he was fighting for him, the king, and the nation of Israel.
David realizes the weight of his sin, the mistakes that he's made, the burden, the guilt is way too much. You been there when you realize something you did and it's way too much? He had so much regret, more than he can handle. Psalm 38, he talks about this. My guilt overwhelms me. It is a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and stink because of my foolish sins, and I am bent over and racked with pain. All day long, I walk around filled with grief. A raging fever burns within me, and my health is broken. I am exhausted and completely crushed. My groans come from an anguished heart, definitely more than one can handle. And those are just a few people from God's story, right? You've met people that have surely have more than they can handle. I'm sure you've been somebody that has had more than you can handle. So the question this morning is, why does God allow us to have more than we can handle? And as I studied, I believe this is the very first thing that really resonated with me. When God wants to teach us to depend on his presence. You know, when things are going really well, it's easy to forget about God, right? It's easy to forget about God when there's no stress, the kids are well, parents are nice, work is good, grades are good, there's more money coming in than going out, you know, the body seems to be working well, there's no drama going on at school, finals are over, as a soft t-shirt says, you know, life is good, right? And it could be in those easy times or good times that we forget about the presence of God. We don't notice that he's not around because things are going really, really well. So we rarely talk to him, and we sure aren't feasting on his word for a morsel to get us through the day. And there's so many great things going on that we find ourselves even, you know, filled on Sundays with great things that we can't make it to worship. And in a sense, we kind of pack him away. We pack him away for a rainy day. We pack him away when we might really need him. He's kind of like our emergency fund. But then, when things aren't going well, when there's a crisis, when we are desperate, when we feel like our backs are against the wall, when there seems like there is no easy way out, then there's like this call out for God's presence, right? There's a call out for rescue. I have known many atheists in my life, many people who do not believe that God exists, ask me to pray for them when they have more than they can handle. It's like when the plane's going down, the prayers are going up, right? It's during that time. And I can look back on my relationship with Jesus, and I can tell you the times that I have felt closest to God was the times when I was in with more than I could handle, right? Times when you feel the world has let you down, times when you feel like your family has let you down, when you feel like there is nothing out there to fix this problem. There's nothing that will make this heartache go away. When you are devastated and you call out to God's presence, Lord, I need you. I need you. I believe that's one of the reasons why God allows us to go through more than we can handle, to teach us to depend on his presence. Remember the story of Jonah? It's a real story. It's not a folk tale. It's not a made-up story that God told us to teach us a lesson. Jonah was a real prophet, and this is his real story, full of blemishes and all, found in God's word. So God tells Noah to go preach to the Ninevites, to tell the Ninevites to repent, stop doing what they're doing, and live right so they will not be destroyed. And Jonah didn't want to go. He didn't want to go. He didn't want to do what God asked him to do for a number of reasons that he felt were justified. So he rebelled. He ran from God, right? And we know that you really can't run from God because he's everywhere. This is not going to work out for you. But he runs from God. He gets on the ship. He is thrown into the water, and then he's swallowed by a big fish. God never said whale, all right? God never said whale there. He's swallowed by a big fish, and he sits inside this fish. Now think of that. Slimy, smelly, dark. And the thing that struck me this week is seasickness, all right? That fish isn't just laying on the beach. The fish is moving up and down and around. It's like being on a roller coaster in the dark, nonstop, over and over and over again. He does not know the digestion process of the fish, so he doesn't know how this is all going to break down. He sits inside the smelly, dark, nauseating environment, not knowing what the time is because there's no light and there's no watch, and he cannot even see the sun with a sundial. He has no idea how much time is going by, and he sits inside this fish until he has more than he can handle. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and the Lord, you heard me. Jonah cried out to the Lord when? Say it with me. In my great trouble. NIV says it this way. In my distress, I called to the Lord. In my distress, not in my success, but in my distress, I called out to the Lord. We tend to crave God more in our distress than our success, right? We tend to depend on God more and crave his presence when we feel we need him most. Sometimes we are given more than we can handle because we need God's presence in our lives. Why does God allow us to have more than we can handle? When God wants to teach us to depend on his presence. And sometimes we let storms, like Jonah's going through, or like Joseph was going through, or like Job was going through, we allow these storms to take us away from God's presence because we get mad at him, right? But it's during this time when we have to depend on his presence, when we have more than we can take, because the Bible tells us he's never going to leave us and he's never going to forsake us. Psalm 145 says, the Lord is close to all who call on him, yes, to all who call on him in the truth. And Psalm 23:4 says, even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You know, we call the darkest valley rock bottom. That's really what the word is for today. But in the Bible times, darkest valley just sounds a little more beautiful, I suppose. Darkest valley. Many of you guys have been in the valley. Many of you guys have had friends in the valley. And you called out to God and you felt his presence and you got through it. And maybe things weren't perfect, right? Maybe things didn't end the way you dreamed that they would end, but you felt God's presence. And it was amazing, right? Because with that presence comes this indescribable peace that others say, how are you getting through this? And you just say, I'm getting through it. I have peace. I'm getting through it. And you learned when you were in that valley, when you called out for the presence of God, that you were able to get through it with him alone. You were able to get through what you thought emotionally and physically you would never be able to do. Because sometimes God gives us things that we cannot handle because he wants us to teach us to depend on his presence. You know, but you can experience God in good times too. We call that the mountaintop experience. You can experience God too there. But I find when you are in the valley and you call out to God's presence, your love and your dependence on God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, just grows. This week, because we're talking about God giving you more than you can handle, I thought back to a time in my life when I felt completely this way, that God has allowed me to have more than I can handle. And it was when I was 17 years old. And I can tell you it was the darkest valley I probably have ever been in my life. And I remember sitting on the stairs crying. Not little streaming tears, but that gushing, sobbing, you just watched the movie Beaches kind of tears, right? I was sobbing. And it was the summer of my high school graduation. And the night I graduated, I don't know if you have a feel-good graduation story like this, my mother kicked me out of the house the day I graduated from high school. And the week prior, my long-term high school boyfriend broke up with me because he wanted someone a little more quiet and a little more submissive. Looking back, he probably was right, right? It wouldn't have worked. I was living with my dad in Niagara Falls, but Niagara Falls was 30 minutes from my home church and the neighborhood that I grew up in. Now, you say 30 minutes, you can drive, but I broke my foot also, so I could not drive. I felt so lonely. I felt so trapped. I felt like
there was nothing that could get me out of that valley, right? And I remember sitting on those stairs in my Oscar moment, sobbing. I'm not sure why I sat on the stairs, but it makes it a better story. Sitting on the stairs, sobbing, that I called out to God and I begged him. I said, if you can just fast forward me, if you can just time warp me to a time when I have my own family, or I have my own house, or I have a husband, or I have kids, if you could just fast forward me out of the valley, I would so appreciate it. You ever been there? Yeah, right? So, I didn't mean to cry. It's been a long week with Boutique and everything. So anyways. All right. Really, I'm really not really crying. I think I'm overtired. All right, anyways. So, I'm praying that. And I can tell you, it was a horrible summer. It really was. But I can also tell you this. I never felt God's presence like I felt that summer. Like I could not stop reading my Bible. Like, every verse hit me. Like, they wrote that for me. That psalm, he gets me. Like, every single thing just filled me up. I couldn't get enough of God's word. I couldn't get enough praying to God. I couldn't get enough journaling. I had never depended on his presence like that before. Was it horrifying and horrible and sad and heart-wrenching? Yes. But I would never trade that for the presence of feeling my God in my heart, in my life, in my mind. He was the first thing I woke up to thinking and the last thing before I went to bed. He was everything to me, his presence. Sometimes when you're in the valley, you have a chance to depend on God's presence like you've never depended on it before. Fast forward 25 years or so, whatever it is, right? Last weekend, our bedroom is like, we live in a small house, so if you go up the stairs, it's pretty much our bedroom there. So the stairs were there, and I think the stairs is what reminded me of that night, right? So it was Saturday, and I just got home from a very long day. It was a great day. We had basketball and the dentist and carpooling, and there was a wrestling event, and I had a marriage class and all sorts of things. It was a full day. When I got there, I just kind of went up the stairs. Before I got up the stairs, I was greeted by Corey. I was greeted by the boys. I was greeted by two excited dogs. I was not greeted by a cat who could care less. But anyways, you know. And I got up to the top of the stairs, and I just kind of like crashed on my bed. And as I crashed on my bed, I heard sounds. I heard Pate playing on the Xbox, which is a funny thing to listen to if you ever listen to him playing on that. I heard him that. I heard Corey warming up Cameron with wrestling because he had wrestling the next day, so they were doing some moves in the kitchen. And I remember just thinking, this is what I prayed for. On those stairs, this is what I prayed for. And at that point, I didn't just have tears streaming down my face. I sobbed with praise and joy for what God had done in my life. So not only in the valley did I feel God's presence, I felt him on the mountaintop. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sometimes we're going to have those seasons in our life when we are in the valley. And sometimes we're going to have those seasons when we are on the mountaintop. And sometimes you are going to have more than you can handle. But during those times, that is when you can depend on his presence, right? Another reason. God sometimes gives us more than we can handle so he can teach us to experience his power. If you're like me, sometimes you try to do it in your own strength, right? You try to say, I can get through this on my own. I'm so tough. My mom raised me this way, or I'll get through this, or people admire me that I can handle a whole lot of stuff. Well, when we buy into the lie that God will not give you more than you can handle, we believe that God's giving us this and we can handle it. Right? When we believe God won't give you more than you handle, you're like, well, I got to pull up my boots and I got to get through this because God's not going to give me more than we can handle. And so if we feel like we can't handle it, we feel like failures, right? But the truth is, God never said that. We were never meant to do it on our own. We were created to be able to use God's power and help. We need God's power. We need God's deliverance. We need his help. We were never meant to do it on our own. So when you say you can't handle it, yeah, you can't handle it, but God can handle it.
Amen.
You can't do it on your own, but God can help you through it.
In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about something that he was more than he could handle. And it's translated, he calls it the thorn in his flesh. And this is what he says. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, I mean, God was using him in a mighty way. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. We don't know what Paul's thorn in his flesh was. A lot of people think he was losing his eyesight. He was going blind, and that was something that he was struggling with. Some people say it was the persecution from the Jews, you know, because he converted and all of that was going on for him. You know, we know he's got stoned in prison. Some say he was going through some type of depression. Some say it was a temptation that he was fighting. We don't know, but this was a valley for the Apostle Paul. This was a tough time. And he goes on to say, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. You'd be like, I begged the Lord to take away things three times before breakfast, you know? Like, what is that about, three different times? I mean, that seems like he really didn't try hard to get rid of the thorn in the flesh. That's not what it meant. This actually means three different times. It's like three different seasons where he went all out begging God to take it from him. It might have been three seasons of fasting or coming to the church leaders to pray over him or taking a pilgrimage to pray and seek God and ask him to take it away from him. It was three different major times he asked God to take this away from him. And every time he did this, every time he went out and said, God, you got to rescue me from this, this is how God answered him. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults and the hardships and the persecutions and the troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, sometimes God gives us more than we can handle to learn to experience his power. I can't do it on my own. I can't do it without you, God. I can't get through this without you. I am not Superman. I am not Superwoman. But your grace is enough for me. It's in our weakness that God's power works best. If you look at times that you're in the valley, or maybe in the future when you find yourself in the valley, this is a very, very different way of thinking. It's very encouraging to know when we are weak, when we can't do it on our own, when we don't have all the answers, when we are desperate, it's in that weakness that he is going to make us strong. God, he's God. He can get us through any situation. He's God, right? But it may not be how you want it to be. You're struggling with money, and it might not be a wad of mysterious cash shows up at your house. It might. That has happened to me before. But it might be that God gives you the strength to get out of debt, or God gives you the strength to meet people that help you get out of debt, or you have the strength to start saving and stop spending. It could be all in that weakness that God makes you strong. It might not be the way you think it needs to be. Your marriage might not be miraculously healed overnight. But I promise you, if you seek his presence, if you depend on him, if you utilize his power, you're going to see some changes. And you're going to feel directed by him, and you're going to receive his peace despite being in the valley. You know, the healing that you're praying for may not come. Paul's didn't come. But when you seek his presence, when you depend on him and you utilize his power, you're going to experience his presence. And I tell you, it's good stuff. And he's going to give you the power to deal with it. And he's going to give you the power to navigate it and fight it. And he's going to give you the power to praise his name through it. There's going to be times when God allows you to go through more than you can handle. There will be. And those times, instead of sobbing on the stairs, if you want, you can. But I want you to think, God wants to teach me to depend on his presence right now. And then I want you to think, God wants me to experience his power right now. Kind of flips the valley for you. Seek his presence. You need to depend on him fully. We need to depend on him fully. We need to exchange our weaknesses for his power. Because he did say, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So that power of Christ can work through us. For when we are weak, then we are strong. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for this morning. Thank you that
Thanks that you don't promise us that the minute we accept you as Lord and Savior, our lives are going to be perfect. You never, ever promised that. But you did promise that you'll never leave us. You did promise that when we call out your name, you are there. You did promise, Father, that your presence is enough. You did promise, Father, that though we can't handle or we have more than we can handle, that you can handle it all. You promised all of these things, Father. I pray for those who feel like they are in the valley or they are slipping quickly down into the valley, that, Lord, they would cling to the promises that though it's more that they can handle, it's not more than you can handle, and that your presence is real among the tears and among the fear and among the anger and the loneliness and the desperation. Your presence is so real. Father, thank you for recalling to me a time in my life when the valley was so low, and then bringing me to a place, Father, where I could recognize you on the mountaintop. I pray for each one of my brothers and sisters here today, that today they would recognize your presence no matter where they are. And Father, they would cling to you and depend on you no matter where they are. And Father, they would see your strength, not theirs, no matter where they are. And Father, today, most of all, that they would draw closer to you, that they would desire to be more and more about you, that you would be more and more in their lives, and they would have such a thirst to see more of you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.